have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Oh, Yes, you did.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. We praise God and we give him all the praise. We give him all the honor and all the glory for life, health, and strength. We apologize. We thank God for all the things that he's doing and all that he's about to do. We thank God for you all being on the air with us. And we thank God for our awesome producer, Cameron Kim. Now, again, we're just overly joyous for what God is doing and for what he's about to do and what he's about to say, what he's saying, and what he's doing within our lives. Before we get started, let us go into a word of prayer. I don't like this going to the things of God and without praying and assuring that God is with me when I begin to go into something. Because I got something that's kind of on my heart. Well, I ain't even kind of on my heart. It's on my heart. The deal is that souls are at stake. I had something that was said a couple of days ago, stuck with me. But anyway, Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise, and we give you all the honor, and we give you all the glory. We praise you for who you are. And we thank you for being our God. We thank you for keeping us throughout this week, keeping us even throughout last night and throughout this day. You kept us through dangers, from sent dangers, seen and unseen dangers, heard and unheard dangers. And we're just grateful, and we're just grateful that you kept us thus this far. Father, as we come, Lord God, I ask that you give us ears to hear, and I ask, Father God, in Jesus' name, that this word goes out and touch several hearts, many hearts, many minds, many souls, and we thank you, Lord God, for doing it in advance. Thank be done in decency and order and giving clarity of speech as we do so and as we look at your word. In Jesus' Yeshua name we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, I want to deal with something because it seems like I keep running across this very thing over and over and over again. I wasn't with you last week because I had to do another service somewhere else, and we came from Jeremiah 29:11, and it talks about how God knows his thoughts towards us. And this is not my subject, but he said that there are thoughts of good and not of evil, and they're to bring us to an expected end. And I'm believing in that, and I'm standing on that word, and I know that for myself, a lot of times when I've heard that word or when that word came to my heart, it was a time that God was about to bring me out of something that looked very, very impossible. So I guess I'm kind of bringing this hand in hand with this. I was ministering to someone who was dear to me, and I know that they've got some background where they know the word. They're familiar with the word. And it's the statement that was made, and the statement that was said. It alarmed me because even though they knew the word, they fell into something. And it just, you can probably tell it kind of knocked me off balance. They made a statement, and we were talking, and they made a statement that said, God's umbrella covers us all. But I just happened to know that for a fact that they had got involved with someone. That got involved with someone who's into this new thing. It's actually not new. People been doing it. But it seems like it's on the horizon now. And I'm talking about how people are getting into this thing of worshiping crystals, glass. And this particular person is already has been on a downward spiral because God has spoke to them and they have deliberately saw fit to go totally the opposite direction in which God told them to go. And it's like the enemy has thrown blinders on them. Maybe I shouldn't be talking about this, but yeah, I'm going to do it anyway. It's like the enemy has put blinders on them, and though even though there is either one or two things going on, either they're blinded by the enemy and don't realize that it's God that's chastening them, or they have just put up a stiff neck and is just totally rebelling on God. And I'm reminded. I'll go there. Because Paul talked about time and a place where the people of Galatia had went into apostasy, or if you will, began to fall away from the Lord. They just decided that they weren't anymore going to follow the Lord. And the person asked me, said, "Well, does God force you unto repentance?" And my response is that he doesn't actually force you to repentance, but he allows circumstances to get hard. I hope I'm helping somebody out there. He allows circumstances to become very hard and very tedious and very stressful. He allows things to happen because he's trying to get your attention. He's trying to get you to submit. He's trying to get you to repent. He's trying to do this because he's trying to save you actually from a devil's hell. And it has boggled my mind for people who have known God and known about God. It has boggled my mind because there's a lot of people running around now who tend to have the tendency that they want to have the blessings of God, but they don't want to submit to God. They don't want to do the will of God. They don't want to do the things of God. They don't want to walk in obedience. They want to walk contrary to God and still think that there's this big, whole big umbrella that they can be under, that God is covering everybody under this umbrella. And so I'm going to start out with my first verse. I'm going to start out is Galatians 3:1. And it just disappeared. Galatians 3:1. Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only what I learned of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? Let me go back to the first verse again. It says, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? He asked the question, who have bewitched you? Who have fooled you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth and crucified amongst you. Let me read that in the NET. It says, you foolish Galatians, who has cast a spell on you? Before your eyes, Jesus Christ was vividly betrayed as crucified. He's talking to a people who knew God, who knew about God, even when he talked about in the second verse, he talks about this, only will I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. He's talking about people who've even come in contact with Spirit of God. And then let me look at it in the NET too, because I like the way they break it down. They say, the only thing I want to learn from you is this. Did you receive the Spirit by doing the works of the law or by believing what you heard? In other words, did you learn of this? Or did you receive the Spirit of God by doing the works of the law or by believing, in other words, by faith? You had to believe this thing. In order to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to receive the Spirit of God, you had to believe it. He wants to know, did they get this by working the law? In other words, did you do this by the works of the flesh? And that's what I'm getting at right there. Because what I'm running into and what I have ran into is that there are people who want to please the flesh and hold on to the works of the flesh, but still want to from God. They will even challenge men and women of God who they know are anointed of God and still think that God's not going to back them up. They're not going to back the woman or man or woman of God up. It's like there is no fear of God in them. Oh, my God. So I guess if you're out there and you're listening and you're coming under such strange attacks, it could be that whoever the enemy has sent, they have no fear of God, even though they may have been someone who at one time knew God and knew the things of God. But for some reason, there's this strong spirit of rebellion now that when certain people hit their head against a brick wall because they are being disobedient to God, it's almost as though they feel like God owes them something. Or better yet, it's almost as though they feel like, you know, I'm in a place where, you know, look, God don't tell me what to do. Don't nobody tell me what to do.
I don't even hear God tell me to do something. I mean, let me go back to this. Necessarily forcing himself on you. He allows things to get hard. He allows things to get hard. He allows things to work against you. And why shouldn't you? Why shouldn't you? I mean, you're turning your back on him. You're turning your back from the only means of help there is. And it's like they want or they expect this blessing so that they can continue on. Yes, continue on in sin. I've even heard them pray and stuff like that, God, and ask God, God, give me unlimited grace or unlimited favor. Be careful when you hear that, because what they're doing is they're asking for unlimited favor, meaning, or unlimited grace, meaning that they don't want that grace or they don't want that favor to run out so that they can continue on in the sins that they're practicing, that they're living. And they want to ignore the scriptures where the Bible tells you that his spirit will not always strive with man. It will not always strive with man. Colossians 3. I believe it's, because I looked at it a little bit early this morning. This thing's been kind of messing with me. It says, for such things sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. Let's stop right there. Listen. 3:6, Colossians 3:6. For which things sake, the wrath of God, this right here separates that statement that they made, that God got this one big fancy umbrella that cover us all. And I told them, and I went to this particular scripture, I said, no, honey, the umbrella don't cover us all. His wrath, it awaits. There's some version that says his wrath awaits the children of disobedience. And then the seventh verse, it says, in which ye also walked sometimes. That was a time before that we ourselves walked in that disobedience. Before we got delivered, before we got saved, before we became a new creature in Christ, we once was walking in disobedience. Whether we knew it or whether we didn't know it, we were walking in disobedience. Me, myself, I thought I was okay because I was always going to church every Sunday, and I grew up in the church every Sunday, and yet, you know, I still did things, but, hey, we keep running under this thing, well, he'll forgive me, well, he'll forgive me, well, he'll forgive me. He loved me. He does love you. He will forgive you, but there's going to be a time that he's going to bring you to the crossroads to where you're going to have to choose. Are you going to choose life or are you going to choose death? Are you going to choose my son or are you going to choose death? Are you going to choose the works of the flesh? There's no two ways in ands or buts about it. When we go to Colossians 3 and 5, it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. He's talking about your members. He's talking about your body. He's talking about your right hand, your left hand, your eyeballs, your eyeballs, your lips, your ears, your feet. So he said, mortify all that while you're upon the earth. He said, fornication, uncleanness, inordinateness, affection, evil, covetousness, and covetous, which is idolatry, covetousness. Wanting somebody else's stuff is idolatry. Listen, we got to be careful with this thing called idolatry, too, because that thing can slip up on you. And I said it like a country boy, thing and not thing. That thing can slip up on you before you know it. If God tell you to leave this alone, leave that alone, and you know he's dealing with you, to come away from that. But you ignore God. That thing or that person or that place has become an idol to you. I'll say this again. If God begins to deal with you about coming away from a particular person, place, or thing, and you know God dealing with you about it, and you know that God is dealing with you about giving that particular thing up, if you desire not to give that up, if you desire to not to take heed to what God is saying, that particular thing has become an idol to you. Yes, I know this firsthand. I know it firsthand. I was working a job, and I was working. It started out only 4 days a week, 12 hours. It went from 4 days a week, 12 hours, to 5 days a week, 12 hours. Where I was a big revolving door. People was working, was in and out. You know, and it was hit. I mean, you know, there was getting hired one day, the next day somebody else getting fired left and right. And then those 12 hours became 18 hours. And then it became from 5 days a week to 6 days a week, and then sometimes 7 days a week. And God started dealing with me about rest, 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 rest. And I didn't have no idea that when you look at it from the view of God, that particular job had become an idol to me. God was beginning to be upset because God then wanted to say, well, the way God looked at it was that I was looking at that job to be my source, my only source of income. And God is like, no, that is not your only source of income. I'm your income. I'm your source of income. I just gave you that to do as a source income, but I am your source. So God pulled me away from that. And, you know, some of the time I go into a deeper detail as to what my consequences were because I did not want to let go. I could not understand, you know, because, you know, there's a push in the Bible that says man don't work, man shouldn't, don't eat. We get into that a little bit further too. But there comes a time that God will bring you to himself for whatever call it is that he got on his life, on your life. I'm trying to help people see the fine line so they don't get in trouble with God, so they don't end up getting lost, so they don't end up anyway. To realize that he said, mortify yourselves, or mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, and inordinate affection, evil conspicuousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. It is. And then in 6 verses, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. A lot of people don't want to think that God has a wrath. A lot of people just want to think that God is good, God is merciful, God is great, God is long-suffering, and he is all that. He's not going to pressure you. He's not going to override your will. That's what I heard. That's what people used to talk or teach in the back in the day. But my personal experience is that it's not so much that he overrides your will. He just makes your will willing. You have to ask Jonah about that. See, there are storms that will come in your life. There are things that will happen to get you to return or get you to repent. This particular person kept telling me, man, I got all kind of different things going on in my life. Yeah, you're going to. He told you not to do this, you did it anyway. He told you not to do this, you did it anyway. He told you like this, and you did it anyway. And he knows the heart. And their response was, well, I remember I prayed, I fasted these many days, I should have got this from him, and he didn't give me what I wanted in those days. And Well, see, you're fasting, you're praying. He knew that you were fasting and praying to get what you want, and he knew that once you got what you wanted, you was going to go right back to your old wicked way. So, no, you didn't get what was you thought you was going to get. God requires a repentance. God requires obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. See, if we had this, trying to keep up, if we had this, everybody was under, so to speak, or so they see it, then the portion of scripture that says, hell enlarges herself daily, that wouldn't be in this word. It would not be scriptural, because everybody under the umbrella would be okay. Everybody under the umbrella would still be saved. Everybody under the umbrella would make it in. But no. No. It don't work that way. I wish it was that way. It would be a whole lot simpler. It would be a whole lot simpler. You know, that simple. We wouldn't have Jesus to tell us stuff like being wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. We wouldn't have to have the scripture that says, be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, which is the devil, is going to and fro seeking whom he may devour. If it was just that simple that all of us was under this protective umbrella of God, we wouldn't have to put on the whole armor as it talks about in the books of Ephesians. The helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, that you may quench the fiery darts of the enemy. The enemy, when he strikes, he just don't strike a lot of times. He used people, just like God used people. He used people. And he's not just using some people that's going to be, you know, under this safety umbrella that they imagine everybody is under. I'm just appalled because a lot of people, they know it's just certain people are really right now picking and choosing to believe a lie. Ooh, that's scary. That is really scary. That is scary because another scripture just popped into my mind, which said that the time will come that some will, where the conscience will be seared with a hot iron, and they believe a lie and be damned. Some people are willing to believe a lie so that they can feel comfortable in going around and living in sin. They want to feel comfortable. They want to feel like they got some kind of approval from God to practice and live in sin. But yet, down inside, in their innermost being, God lets you know. God lets you know. And if you feel like he's forcing you, it's because somewhere down the road, he sees destruction just may be coming near. It's just like if I were to see someone walk into a house, say the person is blind. He can't see. Let's say he blind and he can't hear. Let's say he blind, he can't hear, and he has no feeling, no sense of feelings. But if I'm seeing him going into a house that's already on fire, you think I'm going to look at him and I'm going to say, hey, man, I'm going to have that house on fire? No. Even if I might not know if he can hear or see or not. But if I see him going towards that house, I'm not going to do it in a calm, fashionable way. I'm going to yell. I'm going to holler. I'm going to scream. If I can, I'm going to get out the car. I'm going to run. I'm going to grab. I'm going to tug to keep him from going into that fire. And that's what God does. He does some stuff to make you, to shake you, to make you wake up and come away from the fire. No, he's not forcing himself on you. You choose. You choose whether or not you want to live. You choose whether or not you want to live for God or go on to a devil's hell. That's right. The Bible says devil's hell. That meant it was not created for mankind. It was created by the devil and his angels. But man go there out of disobedience to God. They go there because they choose to believe a lie. They choose not to go the way of the Lord. And I'm glad, thank you, Holy Ghost. See, the thing about it is they said, well, it's so hard around me. It's so hard. Things are going on, and that's not coming together. And then because they're in the flesh and they work in the flesh, they won't want to look at their own accountability. They don't want to look at their own mistakes. They don't want to look at, you know, the fact that I heard God, but I went another way. They will begin to point the finger at you or someone else. But the thing about it is that the reason why it is so hard in your situation and God is trying to get your attention is because the Bible says the way of a transgressor, the way of a transgressor is hard. If you're transgressing against the things of God, if you're walking contrary to the will of God, yes, it's going to be hard. I don't know. I know a little bit about carpentry, but not a whole lot about carpentry. But I know that if you are trying to cut a piece of wood and you're trying to cut that piece of wood against the grain, it is hard. If you go with the same way that grain of wood is going, it will cut smooth. It will not be all jagged. It will not be all rough. It will just cut a smooth edge if you go in the same direction of the grain that's on that piece of wood. And it's like that with life. If you go with the same flow of the Spirit of God, it is smooth. But if you go against it, it's going to be hard. That's what Paul talked about when he got knocked off his horse in Damascus. The Lord asked him, why kickest thou against the prick? Why are you going against the grain, man? Why are you going? If you're going against the grain, it's going to be hard. And eventually they told me, save your epistles. And see, that's turning a deaf ear to the word, and it's turning a deaf ear to your aid. That's turning a deaf ear to the things that's going to get you out of the hop that you're in or the spot that you're in. The very thing that can help you and deliver you and save you, you're acting like you don't want it. They told me, I see you got something posted that says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is joy and peace and happiness forevermore." And they said, "But you know, you causing these tears to run down my face." And I'm like, "No, I didn't choose that to go down you. You had four or five different choices that you made that you were not supposed to make. God told you not to do it. God used me to tell you not to do it. You did it anyway, and each time you did it, you hooked up with this, you hooked up with that, you hooked up with this, and each time you hooked up with it, the presence of the Lord was not with them. So now it's running down your, I don't have anything to do with that because you chose that. I didn't choose it for you. I told you to run the other way. It's funny how you get caught up in certain different things when you're in ministry. But it just really has gotten me flabbergasted how certain people look at certain different things to just say, you know, I'm still good. I'm still in good company with God. But they're hurting. But yet they still don't want to let go of the very thing that's got them captivated. And what they don't understand is sometimes the enemy will come and bring you a good gift to keep you out of the ark of safety. Even try to make it look like it's God, try to make it sound like it's God, but it don't be God. But on the inside of you, you know where you're supposed to be. You know where you're supposed to go. A lot of people even know who God has connected them to as far as ministry. Some people even know who God has connected them to as far as marriage and stuff like that. And they still want to go their own little way. And then when things blow up, when they act like they don't understand why it blew up, it blew up because you went contrary to the word of the Lord. He didn't bless that. He didn't ordain that. It's just like trying to put a round peg into a square hole. And I've said that more times than one. But it's true. I was just looking at something else just now, and it, my God. Jesus said, also, it popped up, Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. If it be possible. I'm seeing people being deceived right now, and people ain't even, you know, false prophets ain't even trying to work no works now. Somebody asked me a few months ago, was somebody the Antichrist? And I said, no. They're not the Antichrist. They said, why you say that? I said, no, they're not the Antichrist. Because even though they can make many believe the lies that they tell, they're not the Antichrist. Because they're not performing any miracles. They have not performed any miracles. Bible said, Antichrist, false prophets, they will perform miracles and people will believe this stuff and be deceived. The Antichrist, no. This particular person have not worked any miracles. Now, if you ask me, is the world set? Have the stage been set in the world for the Antichrist to show up? Yes. I would say yes. Because I'm seeing people looking at the truth, looking at lies, knowing it's a lie, and still choose to believe a lie than to believe the truth. God, I really did not know I was going to get into it like that. But it is so true. And it's really dealing with me and I guess causing me to sort of like, sound the alarm. Sound the alarm. Parents, grandparents. In this day and time, we even start having to tell the kids you know, that know the Lord. You may have some parents that may be dibbling and dabbling in stuff that you know is not pleasing to God. I pray that you have the strength of God. I pray that you have the courage of God. I pray that you have the Holy Ghost boldness of God to be able to warn mom and dad. And I pray that God cover you, that there won't be any repercussions that comes from this when you do so. Because some people are falling away from the things they know are right. And they're doing it headlong. They're doing it getting in a hurry. And a lot of times they're doing it out of desperation. But the bottom line is they need a fix. They need something happen real quick. I know for a fact what I'm dealing with, this one particular person, they're dealing with hitting rock bottom. Hitting rock bottom. And I realized that in this particular state or in the place, that's pretty much what it's going to take for them to open up and come to Christ. Whew. So, we have to pray, y'all. We must pray. Because the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I know that, yes, we're living in the last days because I'm seeing too many people who knows things about God who are just going headlong. They're just saying, you know, no more. I'm going to go over here and worship this rock. I'm going to go over here with this group and worship a crystal. And they know good and well. And they know good well that Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. They've been brought up that way. They've been instilled with them. And see, the other thing about that is that whoever they might, thank you, God, whoever they might try to hook up with who might be into that, it may seem to work with them because they have, but if you don't have a taste of Jesus, if you don't have a taste of God, that same thing that worked for them ain't going to work for you. It'll just dibble, it'll be there just enough to dibble and dabble in it for you just to make you feel like it's, man, listen. And you better hope it don't work for you because if you get caught up in it, Lord have mercy. Anyway, that seems like one of the biggest things that I keep running across now. This thing about gems and crystals and, I mean, I even had somebody, and it caught me off guard, tell me one time, here, take this purple stone. It'll do this for you. This, that, and the third. And now I'm good. I ain't thinking no more about it. Kept getting up. And a day or two later, it hit me. Trend. This is the thing. This is what they're trying to do now. Anyway. I just pray for those who are out there who don't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray for those who once knew him and had a relationship with him. You're getting caught up with something else you ain't got no business getting caught up with. For those who are looking for love but looking for love in the wrong places. See, my mind and my heart goes back to the time when God told the Israelites, don't let your sons and your daughters marry the other type of people, the Moabites, all these other bites. Y'all forgive me, but he told them, he said, don't let your sons and your daughters marry outside of the Israelites. And see, that wasn't a race thing. Let me clear that up. That wasn't a race thing. He didn't do it because of the sake of race. He told them, don't let them marry other people from other tribes because they would turn their children's heart away from God. Because these other places that they were going into, the other parts of the land, other parts of the nations that they were traveling through, these other people was worshiping idols. They was worshiping rocks. They was worshiping all kind of different stuff. And God told them, don't let them marry these other things because that will cause them to turn their hearts from God. So we pray, Father, in that area too. We pray for us. We pray for our loved ones. We pray for our family members. We pray, Lord God, in the name of Yeshua, Lord God, that we stay strong in your faith, stay strong in your mercy, stay strong in your grace. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, because you are faithful who has promised. Now, Father, I pray again that this broadcast reached somebody's heart, somebody that may be wondering, somebody that may be in the middle of making that decision, whether or not they're going to find Jesus for themselves or whether or not they're going to seek something else to be their God. I decree and I pray that this word find a resting place in their heart and that the enemy can't pluck it up. I pray that this word find that resting place, and I pray that this word bring forth fruit, that whoever hear it, that whoever receive it, be established in your love, your mercy, and your grace. Now, Father, we pray as we go off air now, we pray that everything was done in decency and in order. Pray, Lord God, that you be glorified in the earth for it. And we pray, Lord God, that everything we do, we pray, Lord God, that we do it in decency and in order. I got a few minutes here, just a few minutes left. But if you understand my voice and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior right now, and you want to know for sure if salvation is real, just repeat this prayer for me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe that your son, that you gave your only begotten son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me. I believe that on the third day you raised him from dead with all power in his hands. And I confess this with my mouth. I believe it in my heart. You said, if I do so, I shall be saved. Now, Father, we ask in Jesus' name, if they said this prayer, make them a new creature in Christ Jesus. Cause the old to pass away, and behold, allow the new to come, that there might be a new man in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for hearing us. We thank you for watching over us. Keep us, Lord God, until the next appointed time. This has been your Apostle Brian Blackingame with For His Glory. We thank you. We bless you. We thank God for our awesome producer, Kimmy Kim. Amen.